KCNR.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Soul of Jefferson.
Amen. It is. Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler
and Lynn Carpenter.
And we are here with Jefferson State of Mind. We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading. If you KCNR studios, we're on 96.5 FM where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. We're also streaming live at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. We are streaming worldwide, and 5 minutes after this program is over, you can get us on the archive. In fact, you can archive us all the way back to 2013 if you want, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
So anyway, we're going to have a guest on here in a few minutes. We'll be calling in. That's Dr. Paul DeNuca, and we're going to get to the bottom of this sales tax thing.
There is no bottom. It's an abyss.
Yeah. Now, that's the smartest thing I've heard a lot of people say. There really isn't. I guess there is no sunset clause, is there?
But no, there is not.
And if you think this just affects the city of Reading and you live in the county area, so
you were
don't
so
listen.
Wrong.
Yeah, it affects the whole area. I shop in Reading. I will be paying this. So it affects everybody.
Not if it doesn't pass.
Well, if it does, then it does affect me. And it also will affect the sheriff's department, which is county. So don't just tune us out because you don't live in the city of Reading.
Well, we want to ask Doc one question. That is, who are the people who put this out there? I know there's a few of them, but I'd like to hear some of the names of people that did that, because they actually got 9,672 signatures. They only needed 5,618, and the ones that were found sufficient was 6,496. So they got plenty of signatures for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a lot of it has to do with, public safety, and maybe not even that as much as, basically the public situation of, spreading the wealth around. I think that between the sheriff's department, police department, and the fire department, I think they get probably 35-40% of this money.
Yeah. Yep.
I just think at this point in our political lives, anybody who's voting a tax increase needs mental evaluation.
There is that. There certainly is that, you know.
We don't have a money problem. We have a spending problem.
And they're not willing to do a forensic audit on themselves to get things turned around, straightened out. We already know by what's been released out there that the salary base is the biggest chunk of this for the city of Reading.
And so who's proposing this increase? Someone who's getting a big salary from the city of Reading, maybe?
Well, oh, yeah, so they can keep their salary, and they can definitely bump it up when they get ready to retire, because they always do that next jump before they retire, and that's what they're looking for.
Government does not need more right. money at any level.
Right. When I looked at the PDF, and you all have it, the two of you have it, when I looked at that, I was surprised to see that Cheryl Tippin is the clerk of the city of Reading and the city elections official. And the last name Tippin, I would think that she somehow is related to Barry Tippin.
Maybe by marriage or something.
Maybe by marriage.
I don't know.
Boy, they're cracking down a pretty good buck, aren't they? They're cracking down a pretty good buck here. What's Barry getting? Something like, you know, $400,000 a year and benefits and everything else. I wonder what she's making. You know, at what point when you have a per capita income of a family of four netting with a net income of around $50,000 to $60,000 a year, that you're paying one person six times that to do a job.
What's the average salary in Shasta County?
Well, that's a good question to ask Doc when we get there. I'm hearing the phone ring. I'm guessing it's Dr. Danuka, and we'll be able to ask him some questions. That's a good one, too. There we go again. Also, folks, when we have Dr. Danuka calling in, or somebody is calling in, only one person on the call works at a time with our phone system at this point. Apologies, but that's just the way it works. Doc will be on for up until 9:30, and then we'll be moving to another subject about the county.
The average salary in Shasta County, according to AI. We'll see how that works. It's $64,000.
That sounds reasonable.
Well, I'm hard-pressed to believe that. We're talking every individual
salary. Yeah, that's not right. Well, that and also could be gross income.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. It could be. And then tippins are spelled differently, too, so it appears that they're not related.
Well, they're not related. Okay, we're going to find out right now because Doc's on the line.
According to one supporter here texting us in.
Texting it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Danuka, what's up, Doc?
Good morning, Terry. Good morning, Wynn and Janet, some of my favorite people together. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, you've buttered us up.
You buttered us up, yeah. Well, what we're going to do, we'll have you on till 9:30, and then next week you'll be coming in here for the full hour to answer questions, et cetera. But tell us about this tax thing. You had made a comment to me when we talked about how you guys really had to vote for this because lawfully you had to vote to put this on the ballot. Can you kind of explain to people where your position is? Go ahead, sir.
Right. But, Janet, I'm not just buttering you up. You are really, truly my people.
Thank you.
So I learned a lot from you about Constitution and fiscal conservatism. So I truly believe what you have taught us. So
we're all in it together, Doc.
Yes. So, yes, Terry, this is very important for us and our citizens to understand exactly how this process works. And I just want to absolutely clarify one concept from the very beginning. City Council has neither initiated this tax increase nor has City Council endorsed it. This has been completely started by a group of citizens, and the information which I shared with you yesterday, I'm also getting the information from the publicly available documents. And the initiative was filed by a group of local citizens, and I have three names here which I can read to
great,
you.
Great.
Dennis Morgan,
okay.
Baron Browning, and Erica Jones. And this was filed on April 8, 2025. Subsequently, they circulated the petition to gather the signatures, and you already read the numbers on that they required 5,816 signatures to qualify, and they collected a little short of 10,000, and of those, 6,496 signatures were considered to be valid by the Shasta County ROV. And after that, once the city clerk's office as well as ROV confirmed the signatures were valid, they submitted it to the city council as required by the election code. And we, as a city council, have no discretion in saying yes or no to the initiative. This is started by the citizens of the residents of the city, and we are required to put it on a ballot. Only discretion we have is about when to put this on ballot. The two options are for that is either we can postpone it to the next election, which will be in November 2026, or the other option we have available is that we have to submit this to the citizens' vote within next, let me just read this here, which the code says that we have to submit this within 80, hold on a second, 88 to 103 days. Since, so, between the 88 and 103 days, we have to submit it to the special election. So those are the two options we have. And that leads us to selection of a date between November 1st and November 16th. Maybe we can postpone it maximum to December 16th. So, first of all, to be clear, we have no choice but to submit it to election, to the vote of general vote of the public. Not only that's required of us by the Constitution, even my moral values say that we have to submit it to the general vote as soon as possible, because I want to respect the opinion of the public. If they have collected enough signatures, they should go to general vote.
Let me
there
ask
is
you,
no question about it.
Let me ask you this, Doc, for clarity.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Two things. First of all, I want to say that Barry Tippin and Charlene Tipton are not related.
Tipton.
No, they're
Tipton.
Not.
Yeah, they're not related.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So
Tipton.
They're not related.
Yeah,
two different people.
They're not related.
They both make good money, though. Anyway, so the other thing is I wanted to ask you about why a special election. That's going to cost us about $500,000. Why are we doing a special election with this and not waiting for it to go on the ballot itself, either the primary or the general ballot next year? Okay,
So the next year's election will be about 16 or 17 months from now. And if we delay that, that's not really respecting public process.
Okay.
I mean, just compare this. It's tomorrow. If people collect enough signatures for Newsom's recall, should that be going to the next general election waiting 2 years?
Well, I think there's a little bit of difference in the fact that this is going to project about $30 million, but most of it is going to the police department, the sheriff's department. I don't know what road infrastructure is, but I think the airport only gets 5%, and I'm not really sure what the infrastructure gets. Most of it's for the police, fire, et cetera, which, we those guys do pretty well, especially in overtime. I'm not saying they don't do a great job. Of course, we love our police. We love our fire. I'm just saying that I don't see an urgency in their salaries, or maybe you can kind of give us an idea on where the urgency really is as far as this goes.
So I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm not supporting any tax increase.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
My job as a city council is right now, and this specific thing is not to interfere in the process of public will. And that's what my position is. Whether we should have a tax or not, we can discuss and debate those merits outside my current job as a city council person. However, I will honor the public opinion, public process of doing it as soon as possible rather than delaying it. Now, we can talk about those issues now. Okay, why do we need this increase? And that is a question best submitted to those people who are proposing and endorsing and supporting it. So I'm going to, let me say this, Terry, that I have absolute faith in we the people to make the decisions that are in our best interest and in the best interest of our communities. Now, the citizens have collected enough signatures. Let us honor that process. And I am confident that people will inform themselves, engage, and vote so that we the people have the final determination, final outcome on this measure. Now, having said that, I'm happy to talk about the city budgets in more details, probably sometime when I come in, or even now we can briefly mention that. Let me say about three things about the budget process. There have been a lot of misunderstandings about what is happening with the city budget. Most of the salary increase with the city staff whether it's firefighters, whether it's police, whether it's administrative staff or executive staff like city managers and all that, has happened between 21 and 24. And I'm not making an excuse for it, but just to clarify, that was all before I was elected over the last 3 years or so.
Okay. Well, I just, I know that in this vote, some people were saying that Tanessa Audette voted no, but actually she abstained. Do you want to, what was her reasoning for abstaining, and how is she able to do that in something like this? That's question one. And then question two, with the next election being in June, that's really not all that far away. It's 11 months. That would save us $500,000.
And is there going to be a special election in November for Gavin Newsom's redistricting plan for California?
I don't know.
Would you be able to piggyback on something in November?
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, so let me answer both the questions. First of all, Tanessa abstained from announcing the or declaring the date for November 3rd. She did not oppose it.
Okay.
Her position was that we do not have the option of putting it on ballot in June. That is not an option that we have.
Okay.
Because city doesn't have any election in June.
Okay.
City's next election for the city council will be in November 2026.
Okay.
So we have the option of consolidating in November 2026, not in June. That's not an option legally we have available by the court.
Okay, great.
So Tanessa wanted to postpone it to December 2026 or November 2026, and I feel that is not really honoring the public opinion by delaying it by 15 months.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second question from Janet. Janet, yes, I'm aware of that possibility that they may have election in November, and it's quite possible that ROV from Shasta County should consolidate that together, but that is, again, as per the count, most likely that's what will happen.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
Yeah, and just to come to that other point is, yes, it's going to cost some money. I'm very, very well aware of that and cognizant of that, but that's the process of the election process. I think if putting something to public vote is one of the best uses of our money.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of the things, absolutely, Doc. One of the things, I know with a lot of this money, actually the lion's share of it going to the sheriff's, the sheriff department, the police department, and the fire department. I mean, I understand that, but again, I'm trying to figure out, it seems like the police really have a problem in the laws we have in California are so bad that they have trouble really enforcing what they want to enforce because of the laxed laws we have. And I think that's a lot of it. I don't know if more policemen, if we don't have a place to put the criminals and the laws are terrible, how is more policemen or giving the ones we have a raise going to help?
I agree with you. And that's why I'm very supportive of Sheriff's plan to and the County Board of Supervisors plan to build an alternate custody program. City has is going to give them a good piece of land to build that program on the south side of city.
Where's that going to be, Doc, approximately? Where's that going to be, buddy?
It's, you got me there. It's close to the river near 273, but I don't quote me on this exact location.
Okay, sure.
I just don't have this in front of me right now.
Okay.
But that's what the county and supervisors and sheriff wanted. City has that land that city owns. City is going to give it to the county to start the program, and we are absolutely supportive of it. That's really going to help in diverting the low-level offenders and reduce the burden on the jail. So in long run, yes. I mean, you know my positions that state of California doesn't make it easy for us to maintain the law and order. Our fiscal conservatism is completely gone from the state, right? It's we have lost the balance right now.
There's been a lot of consternation about Barry Tippin and the salary he makes, everything he gets, and there has been talk from a lot of people that Tanessa Audette and Barry Tippin probably won't have Christmas dinner together. And there seems to be a bit of a a rub everywhere. What's going on with our city manager, and why the salary that's virtually six times larger than the average family income here in Reading? Go ahead.
So a little bit of background, and this again is not, I'm not giving an excuse, but this, all of these salary increases came between 21 and 24. And so the background is, after the COVID, there was a sudden surge in sales tax. So let me step back. So we're talking about general fund here. We're not talking about REU funds or enterprise fund here. General fund, give or take, is little less than $100 million, plus minus. 85% of this goes to the city. City spends on the police and firefighting. Rest of it is available for roads and parks and general administration. So, and most of our intake, revenue comes from sales tax, and that revenue is generally it's rising by 2 to 3% or so. But in 21, we had a sudden increase when it increase escalated suddenly, and projections were made based on that sales tax will keep rising at that accelerated pace for next few years. Based on that, budget was made and raises were given based on inflation as well as a projected increase in revenue. Now, I'm not the person who become business person. I own businesses. I am very conservative in my projections, and I budget tight based on that to make sure that we do not spend more than what we bring in. But I was not there at that time. I do not want to project any other things on the people's mind who the city council were at that time and who made those decisions. So that is something not for me to speak of. You know,
yes,
they
gotcha.
Need to answer those questions themselves, that
gotcha.
Why they gave this and how they increased it. But I would not have done that because...
Right.
And I'll give you an example of that. Just 3 months ago, when we were setting the budget for next 2 years or next 10 years projections, one of the projections in that showed the sales tax will keep rising from 3 to 4% per year. And I actually argued against that because that I said that we should not assume more than 2% increase in sales tax. And here was my reasoning. The federal funds always project a 2% increase in inflation every year. So I do not want to increase the projections of sales tax rising more than 2%. Initially, City Council in that meeting elected to go for higher percentage, 3 to 4% or so. I do not remember exactly what number. But later on, a month or two later, when we had another meeting, they did realize that, yes, that projection can be a bit more rosy than it should be, and they... agreed with me and agreed to reduce the future projection to 2%. So that's how I work.
Right, and that makes a lot of sense because the 1 cent sales tax, folks, is a 13.4% increase, not a 1 cent increase. It's a 13.4% increase, and Doc is talking about 2 and 3%. Doc, we got about a minute left, and then we're excited about having you in next week. We'll have Dr. Danukian live. And first of all, I want to thank you for really standing up for what's right. I mean, I know your heart. Most people do.
You
certainly have won the hearts and minds of a lot of people because of your actions, because of what you do. Yeah, you're a leader, and a leader is an action, not a position, and you've certainly done the action. Anyway, you got about a minute.
Yes.
How would you like to cap this one up? And we're excited about seeing you here in person next week. Go ahead, sir.
I will talk more about it next week, but I just want to bring one other topic about fire department assisted lift fees. This fees was approved as an ordinance in 2023 by previous council. Recently, our council updated it, and this is what I'm told by the fire department, that most of this assisted lift calls happen in the nursing homes, who, in my opinion, should have their own
exactly.
staff and pay for it.
They should pay
Having
for it.
Said
mm-hmm.
that, mm-hmm. we do not want the individual home owners or individual residents of home people who need the service to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So we built in a program that fire department can waive these fees. However, having said that, we have heard the public loud and clear. I have asked the staff and the council to bring it back to agenda, and we are going to take public opinion. I'm going to have a coffee and a town hall, and then we're going to modify it to either eliminate it on the individual homeowners or change it in a way that it doesn't affect them.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
More to come.
Yes, sir, and we'll talk about that Sunday.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Wayne, Terry, and Janet. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you
all right,
for
Doc,
your
see
information.
You next week. Thank you. Okay, so with that, we're going to go off for our break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
The hunts are back for two nights at Wind River Resort and Casino. Prepare yourself and your friends for the hottest male performers. Heating up the stage on Friday, August 22nd and Saturday, August 23rd. Get your tickets for only $20. This includes $10 free slot play. Get your tickets now before they're gone. Must be 21 to attend. For tickets or complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
And we're back.
Oh.
We
no
are
reason?
On. We were waiting for our cue.
Something's wrong with the link. It's not.
Okay. I just want to clarify that for all our listeners. Dave is an excellent producer. However, sometimes he has a hard time dealing with semi-flawed equipment.
Like Terry Raposa.
No.
No, it's not. This time it's the link.
Oh, it's the link instead. Okay. Blame it on that, Dave. We don't listen to Win Carpenter. Nobody likes you very much, you know.
I just blame you.
Anyway, so that's all right.
To continue from what Dr. DeNuca said, it was a matter of the city council being required to place this issue on the ballot. They're not endorsing. They are not saying they're in favor of it. They are just saying it's our job to decide when it goes on the election cycle.
Was that the same issue with the county?
I think the county and the county council should take a cue from them and understand that we do not endorse, we are not trying to argue in favor of, we are just saying it has to happen. That's our job.
Oy vey. Okay, we have Dave on the line, I think. Dave, are you there, sir?
Yes, can you hear me?
You could,
yes.
A little louder, if you could.
Okay, is this better?
Yes.
That's better, buddy. Go ahead.
You know, the road maintenance, fire protection, and all the other necessities are already being paid for, and your guest and the rest of the council aren't spending that money the way they should. And Tanessa Audet put out a 154-page report explaining it, and I recommend everyone read it. Everyone else on that council are puppets of the public employee unions, okay? And there are powerful and corrupt special interests like those unions who have a lot of money to spread a lot of lies to get people to pass this, like their signature gatherers telling people this will only cost them $5 to $7 a year. And about a decade ago, when Chico was looking at raising the sales tax from 7.25% to 8.25%, they hired a consultant who told them that that tax increase would cost a family of four $1,200 a year. And this was well before the inflation we've had. In the last 5 years, prices have gone up about 25%. So you know the cost is going to be even more now. And this tax increase, you know, I also noticed your guest mentioned nothing of the $193 million pension and OPEB deficit, right? Which happened.
Oh, it's more than that. It's more than that. Yeah.
Why don't they mention that? Why don't they tell us that's the real?
Well, I think part of it, Dave, so we can have a conversation here. I think part of it, because the questions that we asked Dr. DeNuca were very specific, and it wasn't that he had a lot of time. We're going to have him on next week. If you were listening, you'll know that we have him on for the full hour, and you're more than welcome to call in and ask a couple of questions, number one. The other part of that, I got the 157 pages that Tanessa Audet. People aren't going to read that, Dave. Let's get real, okay? If she wants to do something, put out a 10-minute video. Everybody in the world will watch it. And Tanessa is very bright and is very capable of putting out what she wants to say in 10 minutes. But this cloak and dagger stuff with Barry Tippin and what we're hearing about Tanessa, I mean, if they want to get rid of him, get rid of the guy. I mean, what are we dancing around for? Look, if they want to get rid of them, get rid of them. And I think that you're right. I agree with you. I mean, this has been something that a lot of us have fought for a long, long time in where this money is spent and everything else. Couldn't agree with you more. But I think that in fairness to Dr. DeNuca, next week he'll have a little more time to do it. He was specifically going to answer what we wanted him to because we wanted him in studio for questions like you just had, sir.
And I think he made it very clear that at this point, the city council members are not either favoring or disfavoring. They are just putting it on the ballot.
Because they have to.
They're not endorsing.
Yeah.
They're not trying to explain it. This is a citizen-driven initiative, and the city council is not responsible for it at this point.
Yep.
But the thing is, if you read the summary that Tanessa has, the way it works is that the city manager, and I would call it the deep state of Reading, okay, the bureaucracy BS's and keeps these city councilors in the dark. And frankly, the city councilors don't want to know, right? They don't want to know this problem, right?
Well, I think that that's also, Dave, we've got other callers, and the thing is that I really respect what you're going to say. And all that good stuff. But yeah, you can, I mean, if you want to ask those questions or, you know, no problem at all. I mean, we'll have them on for the full hour and you can go ahead and go there. But I would only suggest that you kind of piecemeal it out to a few questions. I'm not disagreeing with anything that Tanessa said. None of us are. We just think that it could be a little more pithy so that more people could hear it. And if you have a stand on something, take the stand on it. We know it's bad. It's really bad. Did I say it was bad? It's really bad. But you need to take a stand. Sure, go ahead.
It's one last thing.
Go ahead.
And that is, yeah, this tax increase is going to pass because there is no organized opposition to it. And to defeat a tax increase when you have corrupt special interests funding it, it takes a lot more than just complaining. And I know the hard way because I live in Butte County and we've had, our sales tax where I live is now 9.25%.
There was 9,000, the 9,000 Let's see. There was 9,672 signatures on that thing. 9,672. Now, why they ever signed it, Dave, I'm with you. I have no idea why people even brought that forward. Go ahead, Janet.
I think Dave had the answer. They were duped. They were lied to.
They were duped. They were lied to. And Baron Browning, you know, and who were the other people that were on the... Dennis Morgan, I mean, those are the ones, and Erica Jones were the ones who spearheaded it. So I don't know what their dog is in the hunt. But I hear you, and I hear your plight on Butte County. And yeah, feel free, sir, to call in next week when Doc's on. And write some questions down and ask those questions, and we'll make sure he answers them. So thank you for the call, Dave.
Thanks. Bye.
So yeah, I mean, you can tell just by his angst and passion. I mean, what are they, 9.25% sales tax down there in Chico, he was saying, in Butte County?
Well, what is it going to be? The state's, the federal government's going to take 90% and the state is going to take 30% and the locals are going to take 10%. I mean, that adds up to more than 100%.
Well, the thing that's so crazy about that.
Arizona, Nevada, and Texas are really looking good.
Hey, Terry. Well,
yes.
If you looked at the way they had people sign this, they said, support your local fire and police.
They always do. They always do.
And so, of course, people are going to sign.
Yep.
Oh, Dave, say that again.
Yeah, so like at Holiday Market, for instance, the sign says, support your local fire and police, from what I remember. And so everyone's going to sign and say yes.
Oh.
And 10% is discretionary.
They hired an outfit from Arizona to do the signatures.
Maricopa County?
And where did they get the money to hire outside people?
I don't know.
This is highly financed.
Yeah, well, again...
Somebody's making money.
Well, Baron Browning and Morgan and...
Jones.
And Jones, they were the ones that apparently were spearheading this, according to Dr. Tanuka. So, and what he has, and I would imagine...
Well, their names are on the...
Yeah, it's public record.
On the petition.
They
are
right
the signers.
On the petition. They are, okay, there it is right there.
Three signers as of April 8th.
So, I mean, what's in it for them? Maybe one of them would like to come on the show. And we could ask them some questions of what do you, you know, if you're putting this out there for police, fire, and what was the third thing? Sheriff. I guess sheriff, police, and fire.
And the airport and roads and parks.
Yeah, 5% is what the airport gets.
Yeah.
I mean, is that I can recall.
My question that I would have for all three of these people is, why does the city, county government need more money when all you should be looking is reducing your spending?
I heard that the Rite Aid on Eureka Way, and I'm not saying this is fact, but I heard that the Rite Aid on Eureka Way, and if somebody knows the answer to this, please call in, 605-4567-530, 605-4567, that the Rite Aid on Eureka Way is being bought by the city, that the city is making an offer for more office space.
Well, because Taj Mahal is not big enough.
So if you need more office space, that sort of, at least for a simple guy like me, I'm thinking, well, you need it because you need more people. You need more people to do what?
To me, the funniest thing in this whole initiative measure is the statement that says that there will be... we're going to reach an agreement between the city and county on how the money will be spent, the allocation. And if within 2 years they can't come to an agreement, then the allocation will be shifted entirely to the Reading Police Department. Well, what a disincentive city to negotiate. Yeah,
what?
Sure, we're going to just hang on for 2 years.
Can you read that again? Please read that again, slowly.
Okay. All right.
And it shifts to the RPD?
It says... 12% to be spent on custody operations and jail capacity of the Shasta County Sheriff's Office through an agreement between the County of Shasta and the City of Reading. So they're going to dicker over how much it's going to be. If the city and county cannot reach an agreement within 2 years, this allocation will be shifted from the Sheriff's Office to the Reading Police Department. So let's negotiate in good faith, shall we? I mean, that's just ludicrous. Whoever put that in there was thinking people can't read.
Again, back to what I told Dave. If Tanessa writes 157 pages, nobody's going to read that.
No, they won't
even read 5 pages.
I didn't. I looked at it.
Yeah,
I looked
at it.
Peruse it. I was just about to say print, and I thought, no, I'm not going to print. I'm not even going to read.
Well, Janet, you brought up a good point in that people don't read.
They don't.
The voters don't read.
Don't. They want
a short synopsis of what it is. What am I voting on? They want at most two sentences.
We live by memes and slogans.
Right.
And that's it.
Right. So for something to be 10, 20, 40, 150 pages, people aren't going to read that to get the meat of it. They're just not going to do it.
Well, that's how I felt when I was reading the Constitution for the new state of California. Did anybody read this before they voted on it? No.
They couldn't have.
No, they didn't.
They
couldn't
have.
Just okay. I'm the only one who's read it.
Well, we have Dan on the line. Dan, what say you, sir?
Yeah, appreciate you guys bringing attention to this.
Sure.
You're absolutely right. We're
sure.
not organized to fight it. It's going to be hard. The 25-30%, all these things that were promised for those different groups, you got to remember that's not in addition to their already budgeted item. They were just saying, oh, we're going to divide this up that way, and then the other things will be paid. It's not an increase for police, not an increase for fire. Those numbers don't mean anything because of the way they do the budget.
Just like the state of California did with the lottery money and education. It was supposed to be in addition to, but then it replaced rather than added to. And this is the same thing.
Yeah. You know, according to Transparent California in 2012, and we had, in fact, we had two people investigated. It was Red Smith
Kayla.
Yeah, Kayla Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They investigated this. They went and talked to Chief Paletti at the time. And in 2012, we were the second highest paid police department in the United States. Not per capita, my friend. Not per capita in the United States. And right now, it's not too shabby either. You have other income. You have income for an education for a class. You have overtime income. You have all this stuff to where they're making good money, but I think the frustration of the police really is that the laws are so lax that it makes it really hard for them to. I don't see where more money is going to help, and why give a guy a raise who can't even accomplish what he wants to accomplish with the laws that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, and I think those guys deserve. I wouldn't take their job. I mean, I appreciate those guys doing the work they
sure.
do.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Even about this tax increase is that they're saying, you know, 25% goes to police, but it's not a 25% increase in their budget. They're going to get the same budget they had last year. It's just that they're saying, oh, but the tax is going to be divided that way. There's nothing changing the guy's budget, and that's what we've got to do.
Well, and
we've
I think,
get
yeah. I agree. And they really have to cut some corners. So one thing in a video I did see with Danessa is that she did say, hey, we're going to have to make some hard choices. Well, let's hear those hard choices. Not just hear them, let's do them. We hear a lot of things, but we need to do those things. The thing is that you can't keep tapping the people till they're dry. And, you know, again, it's not a 1 cent increase, it's a 13.4% increase. And when Doc is talking about, needing a 2% or 4% increase, that's not a 13.4% increase. So, anyway, Dan, thank you, sir. And
appreciate you bringing information out there.
Sure.
For us. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a very good point that needs to be brought out that Dan said. Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead. Reiterate on it.
He just did. We look at this 12% to be spent here and 12%, but that doesn't mean 12% more in.
It's at the discretion of the city council.
Yeah. It just means we're going to allocate it this way, but we'll take away 12% from what we gave them last year and give them 12% from this year, and it's still a zero increase.
Yeah,
there's no guarantee that anybody's going to be better off, particularly the taxpayers.
Well, the taxpayers are not better off.
Absolutely.
I mean, the thing, and again, as our producer Dave said, and he's right, I mean, if you're saying, we live in a county here where there's a lot of new people, these people move here, they're seeing some crime, they're seeing some homeless, something they didn't expect to see in Shasta County. There's been fires, I mean, all of us, whenever we see smoke, you know, we're a little bit panicked with the fires we've had. So the understanding of supporting the fire department and the police department certainly is there. And if you're putting forth something like this, a tax increase, to support law enforcement and to support fire and safety, you're looking at a lot of people here who are uninformed voters and people that have moved here and people that are seeing all this devastation and crime. So, of course, that makes sense, but that's not the issue. The money is not the issue.
If these items on this initiative are so important, then the City Council has an obligation to the people to reallocate funds within the current budget to make sure that they are covered.
I think that's kind of what Janessa said on her short video. She did have a short video that was around 2 minutes, yeah, which I did watch.
I can't go to my pension fund and say, you know, I'm coming up a little short this year. You need to increase my amount. I have to reallocate funds within my own budget to cover what is truly important to me, and the city and the county better realize that, too.
We have about 10 minutes, so if you do have a question or a comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. We had an interesting meeting at the Shasta County Republican Assembly with Clint Curtis coming in. There were a lot of questions, a lot of good questions. Wynn asked a great question, I thought. He said, well, when are you going to have a forensic audit of the the county? When are you going to do it of your office? Why don't you start there? I thought that was a great point.
And what was the answer that you got?
We'll see.
Crickets. We'll see. Nobody wants to do an audit.
They're scared.
Nobody wants to be held accountable. And in this case, it would be a perfect time. Clint Curtis can't be held responsible for anything that went on before he got there. So this is the time to expose it.
And that's why I brought it up.
Yes. Why not now? If not now, when?
Right. And another thing to understand, too, we all talk about what's constitutional, what's not constitutional, what's right, what's not right, what the law is, what the law isn't. We know California has a lot of laws that are unconstitutional, not only with the Constitution of the United States, but the Constitution of California. If, in fact, you believe something as an elected official, whatever the law says still doesn't matter what you believe. Clint Curtis believes that he is under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of State, no matter what happens, no matter whether murder becomes legal. He believes that. And maybe that's extreme, but the point is, it's what you believe, not what you see. What's the judge's name in that was in the CFR case? And what's her name?
Kimberly
Mueller. Yeah. Okay. Well,
how could you forget that?
Well, because I try to forget it.
Etched on my face.
Judge Mueller said,
Fraulein Mueller.
Fraulein. She said in her courtroom, folks, that the Constitution means what I say it means in my courtroom.
That's right.
So if she believes that, and Clint believes what he believes, and I know he's finding ways around it. He's a smart guy, so he's finding ways that he can kind of, you know, massage and manipulate and stuff. And whether he's right or wrong isn't the issue. It's what he believes. And that's the whole point I'm trying to make. These people get elected, and it's what they believe. I mean, if the Board of Supervisors believe that Joe Larmor is the greatest thing since sliced bread, they believe that. If they're going to go, whether he's right or wrong, they're going to believe that. And that's the one thing we have to start understanding and saying, hey, is this your position? Is this what you believe? And is this where you really stand? And don't let them dance.
I liked his idea that everything will be on video and transparent and we can all see. But correct me if I'm wrong, did he also say that that was going to be about a $300,000 expenditure by the county for equipment?
Well, isn't the county giving them $2 million?
I don't know.
I heard that. Anybody can substantiate that. That'd be good.
It would be up to the county then to back him up on this transparency mm-hmm. that he is looking for, which I applaud. I think it's necessary and a good idea.
Well, keep in mind, too, just because it's the 1% tax that they're proposing here in Shasta County, City of Reading, what have you, it's going to affect Modoc, Lassen, Siskiyou, Trinity, Butte, Tehama, all the counties that are adjacent to Shasta because people come to Shasta County, i.e. Reading, for medical services, so they go to Costco. They buy their vehicles here. Everything they consume here. So it's not just little old city of Reading that's going to be affected.
Amen.
It's everybody in the North State that comes and does business in Reading.
And yes. It is the major area for shopping. I live in eastern Shasta County, nowhere near Reading City,
right.
But I'm going to pay that sales tax.
That's exactly right. That's right.
And I am sure that the Sheriff's Office is going to negotiate faithfully with the Reading City Council and get their money, so that will help me, too, because I'm a county resident.
Tongue-in-cheek. Okay, we have Andrew from Bernie. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, gang. Hey, you know, don't we already have a solution? Marbury Madison in 18...
Yes, sir.
There you go, getting historical on us.
Well, why don't we utilize it? It's precedent. And it should be followed. So all these unconstitutional laws, they're meaningless. In fact, they're unlawful.
Are you suggesting nullification?
Yeah.
Well, the jurisdiction, the jurisdiction really does fall with the Board of Supervisors, and if they're believing what they're being told, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but if they're believing what they're being told, again, it goes back to what they believe. It's what they believe, not what's right or wrong. That's pretty much what the government's running on right now. Go ahead, sir.
Well, then, Janet, teach these people. You're a teacher.
Well, that's why I'm here right now.
Yeah, that's right. But people have to listen.
Everybody come up and shop Bernie. We won't have that horrible extra 1% sale.
There you go.
If there were a place to shop in Bernie, we've lost McDonald's. Well, we have lost the blueberry patch, whatever, the blackberry patch. We've lost Rite Aid. It's getting desperate up there. Where is the county trying to help some of these outlying areas with their economy?
Well, maybe they'll buy your Rite Aid building.
Yeah. No.
Have the city offices there.
You know, I travel all over, and I see so many empty storefronts because of regulation that should not be in place because of unelected bureaucrats.
Yep.
You do realize that.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And that's why the whole country is suffering because of these, I won't say the word.
We know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Well,
if you were on our podcast, you could.
Years ago, Shasta County would not allow Safeway to build a new store in Bernie because that would leave their old store vacant. Well, how do they feel now about McDonald's and Rite Aid and all of these other stores that are sitting there vacant?
Oh, different politicians are running it now.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
they may have different names, but they're the same politicians.
That's right.
Well, I guess it's closed namely because of the forced minimum wage forced up to $20.
Right.
Yes.
It made it feasible for them to do a remodel and pay that. And it's bureaucrats.
Bureau rats.
Yep.
Well, I think the rhinos have a significant amount in there too. I mean, I'm not gonna hold the Republicans. I mean, that's who all our elected officials are Republicans in this county, and it doesn't seem to be too far off of what some counties are that are Democrat controlled. So
look,
I don't know.
Look, it's a uniparty. One wing, it's a bird. Yeah. One wing. It's the left wing and the right wing.
Yes, the bird, all right. We get the bird all the time.
It gets flipped, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's flipped. She's very clever.
Well, Andrew, it was good to talk to you this morning.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Andrew.
So there goes Frankie. Frank Rose is taking off. Go Steelers, buddy. Go Steelers.
Before we go, I want to let everybody know that hopefully before this time next week, we should hear something on the Second Amendment case.
Oh,
remember, we're coming up on the deadline time for the three-judge panel that Mark and I sat and witnessed up in Seattle for this case that Mark Barrett has to keep our God-given constitutionally protected right of the Second Amendment here in California and Hawaii. Now, keep in mind that if things go haywire, it'll go to the Supreme Court, and then guess what? It'll be the entire country.
Yes.
So we just have to be patient and wait, but hopefully we will hear something this week sometime.
That's great news.
Well, we all know how it should go, and now will those three judges have
the guts.
I wanted to say something else.
The balls to do the right thing. Okay,
yes.
There you go.
Those golf balls,
yes.
Yeah, well, next week, we'll have Dr. Danuka in next week, but also if Mark Barrett is back. I don't think he's back yet.
No.
In fact, he's a pretty busy man right now.
Yeah, dare we hope. I my fingers and toes are all crossed that it will go the right way.
Yes.
Even though it will mean, if we win on this one, it will mean an appeal by the state.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they're gonna do an en banc presentation, and then it'll go to the Supreme Court, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, just keep your eyes and ears open. But the moment that we have it, if they do announce it, then we are able.
Grab your holsters and strap them to your belt, folks.
Absolutely.
You may have 10 hours in which you can carry openly.
That's right.
I'm going to do it if I have 10 hours. If I have an hour, if I have 15 minutes.
I'm going to run up and down the street.
Absolutely.
See?
With nothing but the holster.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, not a
problem. We will not put that on a Christmas card. So, folks, we're wrapping it up here. This is another episode of Jefferson State of Mind. We hope you enjoyed the show. Next week, we will have Dr. Danuka on, And, you know, maybe we'll hear a little something from Mark Baird about the Baird versus Bonta case, which has national attention.
Yeah.
And Wynn can always fill us in on that. Wynn has been instrumental on supporting Mark, and as we all do, but he's gone up there. He made the drive himself up there to Washington and back and brought Mark back home. But that's just the kind of guy Wynn is. Anyway, thank you, brother. Really appreciate that. We all do what you did, Wynn. We all do.
Anything for the cause.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that cause is time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind.